Well, I've been assigned this topic tonight of tell me something good. And I want to tell you tonight that we're living in a tough world, and so we need to know some good things. We need to have some words that can help us tonight, and I've selected a passage from the Old Testament. So find your Bible this evening. If you didn't bring it with you, there's one in the pew rack in front of you, and you can open it up to the book of Job tonight. The book of Job, and find chapter 13 tonight will be our text for the lesson. And we want you to follow along as I'm going to tell you something good tonight about trusting in God. I don't know how you feel about this, and I don't want to get into a big discussion because in the political arena today, it's usually some fiery words that come about, but I wish our president would cover his mouth more. I wish his tweeter would break, and I wish he wouldn't say some things that he does, but it makes us all worry sometimes about the situation in the world that we live in. And so as Christians, we need to realize that our citizenship is not here on this earth. Our citizenship is where, church? It's in heaven. And so we have to live like that, and we have to trust in God, knowing full well that He is in control of everything. And so right before the book of Psalms, you'll find the book of Job. In chapter 13, I'm going to read one verse, and then we're going to look at several other passages. He says in verse 15, Job says, concerning Jehovah, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust or hope in him. Though the devil slay me, I will trust in him. So I've come here tonight to tell you some good news. Tell me something good, that you can trust in God no matter what happens. And you say, well, Steve, how do you know that? Well, I'm going to help you with a story tonight. Let me rephrase that. I'm going to help you with an account in the Bible of a man who ever had any reason not to trust in God. It would be this man. One of the oldest books in the Bible, one of the oldest stories in the Bible. And it is about a man by the name of Job. And so I've come here to tell you something good tonight about trusting in God. And I hope tonight when you leave here that you can say, if the devil slays me, I can still trust in God. I need to hear that. And maybe you need to hear that tonight as well. And no matter what goes on in this old world, He will take care of us. The great question is, it's not, is God enough in our life? The question is, do you trust God enough? You see the difference? We know that God can do everything and He is God, but the question for us is, do we trust Him enough underneath here to put everything that we are and about in this life in Him? Well, the devil thinks that anybody who serves God has some ulterior motive that would look into their life and just go back to the first part of this book. If you'll turn to chapter 1 for just a moment, we're going to kind of let our fingers do the walking through the Bible tonight. He says in verses 1 through 3 that he was a pretty good man. He says here that he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And they were born to him, the Bible says. His possessions were that of 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and then the Bible says, very many servants. Have you ever noticed that the servants were listed after all the animals? Because that's the way servants were valued. If you had oxen and camels, and you had all the other things, sheep, those were more important to you because you could do work with those animals, you could sell those animals, but these servants, they were listed last for some particular reason. And he was a pretty important man. The Bible emphasizes for us that Job was a spiritual man. Good question for all of us as men and women tonight. Could people say about us, oh, she's a spiritual woman. Oh, he's a spiritual man, I know him well. Not only was he spiritual, financially he was a great man. We put a lot of stock on financial things today and we put a lot of emphasis on that. But no doubt Job was a man financially who was able. And then domestically we would say he was a great man because of all the things that were involved in his life. But the devil was suspicious of Job. He was suspicious of him because he said, well, God, the reason that Job has all these things is because you've put a hedge around him. You've taken care of him. You've not allowed any harm to come to his life. And the only reason that Job serves God is because you've been so good to him. So skip down to verse 6 and you'll see this. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And watch this. Satan came also among them. Did you know Satan is called in the Bible the great accuser? That's what he's called. Not only the devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, but he's also called the great accuser. And he will come and he will accuse you of things that you would never believe you would do, but other people might believe it. And so Job was being accused. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Where do you come from?" Question mark. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down on it." And by the way, he's looking down on us today, isn't he? And he's looking at us as we go about our day-to-day duties, our work, our jobs, whatever we're doing. And he's looking at us and seeing what we're about. And the Lord said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" So he just throws Job's name up there and says, "Well, Satan, have you ever considered him?" Well, think about Job for a minute. "And there is none like him on the earth," the Bible says. "A perfect and upright man, one that feared God and turned away evil." Now watch verse 9. "And Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing?'" That is God. Isn't there some ulterior motive here in your life and what you're about? He serves you. And verse 10. "Hast not thou made a hedge about him, about his house and all that he was about on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. The substance is increased in the land." Verses 6 through 10. So here's the challenge. Look down at verse 11 now. The New American Standard says, "But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." So Satan is telling God, he said, "If you will put forth your hand and touch him, Job will be so bad off that he's just going to curse you, God." And so I want you to know tonight that I really mean this, that God loves you. When it seems like no one else in the world loves you and you feel unlovable, I want you to know tonight that God loves you, and he loved Job. And he wanted the best for Job. And God loves me tonight like that. And Satan says, "You just let me at him for a little while, and I'll take care of Job to the point to where he will even curse you, God, for what's going on in his life." Look at verse 12. "And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power.'" And he says, "There's only one thing that you cannot do. Only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. As we see now, some incredible things are going to happen to Job. Things that would be beyond our wildest imaginations of what anything could happen to us. But I want you to remember verse 15 of chapter 13. "Though he slay me, though the devil even slay me, I will still trust in the Lord." Can you say that tonight? I want you to know something good this evening. If everything in this world goes down the drain tomorrow, God still loves you. And he wants you to trust in him, because this is a great example of what happens when God takes care of someone, okay? You know, when we say that we love God because he's given me this, we love God because he's done this for me, so therefore I must love him. Well, let me tell you, boys and girls and men and women in this audience, if you have that kind of love for your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, a because of love, it doesn't mean very much. My wife is with me tonight. We're going to be married 45 years at the end of this month. Can you believe we got married when we were 10? No, I'm just kidding. Kids, don't believe. I'm just kidding. Don't get married at 10, okay? But you know, 45 years. So my wife loves me not because I do this for her. She doesn't love me because I pick out dresses in the catalog and order them for her and send them to the house. I don't love her because she does this for me. If you love someone and your boyfriend or girlfriend says, "If you love me, you'll do this because," you run like the wind from that person. that because of love will not last. We love people because we just love them. My wife and I have this little code in our life that someone that's difficult to deal with in the church, we have these three letters for them. And they're not bad, so you don't have to panic. We call them EGR people. You know what that stands for? Extra grace required. Do you know any EGR people? Yeah, I see you do. I can see a smile on your face. Yeah. We all know extra grace required people. And so we have to love people because God tells us to, first of all. But when we extend that grace to people, when we love them in spite of whatever it is, that quirk or weird thing about their life, they look at us and think we're weird. And so we have these people in our life and we love them in spite of the way that they are. And so don't have a love that is a because of love. Love God. He is God. And trust in the Lord in everything that you do. Well, I want to suggest tonight, if you're taking notes, something good for you to know tonight is that God can be trusted tonight whenever you're submerged in suffering. Whenever you're in suffering, God can be trusted. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know what you've been through. I haven't been reading your mail. But the chances are I'm talking to somebody tonight that's right in the midst of suffering. And if you're not in the midst of it, you've just come out of it. And if you've not just come out or in the midst of it, you're going to have a time of suffering, that something is going to come to you in your life. And God can be with you in the time of suffering. Job suffered incredible loss. Look again at chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. It says, his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. A messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the donkeys were feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. First of all, Job lost all of his finances. And now his animals, his flocks, his herds. As a rancher, these people, the Sabaeans, swept in. They took every creature that Job owned and took those away from him. So being looked upon as a great rancher, a herder of animals, all these were taken away from him. So his finances had just gone down to nothing. And so tomorrow morning, if we get up and the stock market has crashed, let me tell you, you can still trust the Lord. Is it going to be easy? Probably not. But you can still trust in God. He's the only thing that will sustain us in times of difficulty. And so Job suffered incredible loss. We may suffer incredible loss as well. The next thing in verses 18 through 19, while he was still speaking, another came up and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you. You see what's happening here? It was just a few years ago, this couple seated right down here to my left on the very front row up here. We were going through Del City, Oklahoma, and they took us over to Del City. You remember when the tornado came through Moore and it came through Oklahoma City, came through Del City? We walked through there, and I'm telling you, it looked like a bomb had gone off. I said, Elmer, where's the glass? He said, the wind was so forceful, all the glass was torn too, and it was shredded to pieces, and it's now sand. That's the force of wind. Well, your sons and your daughters were eating. A tornado came, and the house fell down on and killed all their children. Can you imagine how Job must have felt? Tragedy. The Bible says, next he lost his fitness. What was going on in his life, he now loses his fortune, he loses his family, but Satan's not through with him yet. Look in your Bible, look at the text in chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. He will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life. You know what happens to Job next? He is cursed with boils from the top of his head all the way down to the soles of his feet. Now, don't answer out loud, but raise your hand. Has anybody here ever had a boil anywhere on their body? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay, we have seven honest people. I like that. I've had a boil before. And let me tell you, I wouldn't want one on the top of this bald head, and I wouldn't want one on the soles of my feet. Job had them covered over his face, his neck, under his armpits, down the trunk of his body, on his torso, down his legs, and the bottom of his feet. And he was covered in those so bad, the Bible says he went out and he took a piece of pottery. And he broke that piece of pottery, he took a potsherd, and he took that and he began to scrape the skin all over his body to get rid of those boils. I would say it's the worst case of chicken pox he'd ever had. But worse. And so everything about his life was changed. And then he lost his face. Now, I'm not talking physically his face, but he lost face with his friends. Have you ever done something wrong and your friends abandoned you? Have you ever done something right and your friends abandoned you? If you stand for good, sometimes your friends will just fail you and they'll run and they'll go away. But sometimes when we fail, even our friends will leave us. Well, Job had some friends. They have some pretty funny names. But they began to question old Job, and they said, Job, surely something's gone wrong in your life. You've cursed God. You've done something bad. You've sinned. Surely it's your fault, Job. All these things have happened to you. So tell us, Job, what is it? Maybe you had an experience like that, where you think because you've sinned, all these things have happened in your life. And you start thinking about all the things you've done and wonder, is God heaping all this on me? But let me tell you tonight, you can trust God. He's going to be with you, and he's going to bless you. Job's lost it all. He's submerged in suffering. He's bankrupt. He's lost his friends. His friends are bailing on him, and they're nowhere to be found. And so can we trust God in a time of suffering? You bet we can. God will be with us through thick and thin every step of the way, and he will bless us. Hold that place in the book of Job and turn over to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews for just a moment. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the Bible tells us, the Hebrew writer says these words, and he says he's running out of time, the writer says. That's the way it is with every preacher. We always run out of time. We never have enough time to preach. He says, if I run out of time, and so he begins to collapse and just give little vignettes, little snapshots of victories. And in chapter 11, verse 32, he says, what more can I say? Question mark. For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. And then he tells us what they did by faith in chapter 11, verse 32 through 35. He says, what more shall I say? By whom faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness was made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And if that's all I read, I would just say, sign me up for some of that. I would want some of that. I would want to be saved by those things. Looks like to me, if you're a Christian, you just sign up for all honey and no bees. Is that the way it is? No. We know that we have tough times in our life, but most of us as Christian, we want all roses and no thorns. Have you ever known someone like that? Well, I didn't think being a Christian was so hard. Well, let me tell you, sometimes being a Christian is difficult. Most of the time, it's great, but sometimes it's hard. I want you to listen to what happened to some of these great men of God. In chapter 11, verse 36, and others experienced mockings and scourgings and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Have you ever seen that before? They were sawn in half. They were tempted. They were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. They hadn't done anything wrong. All they did was say, I'm going to follow after Jesus. I'm going to follow after Christianity. And I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And all this time, they're buying into the idea of trusting the Lord. That God's going to take care of them no matter what happens. And God will help us. So how'd they endure? They endured by their faith. When times got hard, they endured by their faith, and they stayed living on God's side and not giving in to others. I want you to know something good tonight. I'm simply saying, folks, we can have the blessings of God and still have calamity in our life. I don't know everybody here tonight, and I don't know everything about your life. But I do know this. Every single one of you have had a heartache in your life. I like to say at Brown Street that there's a heartache on every pew. There's a heartache on every pew. You know what it is. You know what's going on in your life and in your heart. And tonight you may say, that's exactly right, Steve. I'm hurting tonight. Well, let me just reach out to you a minute and say, trust God. Trust God because he's going to help you. He's going to bless your life. He's going to be with you every step of the way. In Job, the first chapter in verse 21, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away, the Bible says. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible says in verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle. In other words, he tore those clothing and shaved his head, fell upon the ground and worshiped God. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I shall return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And listen to this. Look at verse 22. In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Have you ever known someone that just blamed God every time something bad happened in their life? I tell you, that Christianity thing, that just stinks. Every time I go to church and every time I go to worship service and every time I put money in the plate, tomorrow something bad's going to happen to me. They're always talking about the bad things. Let's turn it around a little bit. Have you ever known someone that always blesses God when God blesses them? We don't know people like that very much because we don't talk about him. I've kind of adopted a phrase in my life when something good happens in the office, and I hear about yesterday morning while I was here in Oklahoma City, I got a text that a man was baptized yesterday by one of our members. And the first thing I told the secretary on the phone was, praise God. Isn't that good? Could we as Christians begin to say when something good happens to the body of Christ that we just don't say, oh, that's good. How about we just say, praise God. Praise the Lord. You know what? It'll become second nature to you to where everything that happens is good, you'll just start saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And soon it'll be a part of your vernacular, your vocabulary, and people will see it in your life. All right, one other thing, and I have just enough time. God can be trusted when you're forsaken by your friends. I didn't know school was going to be starting this early, but this is a good point for us to talk about tonight. Come to worship at the Westside Church, whether you're in college, you're in high school, junior high. You come to worship here all the time, and sometimes when you make a decision to stand for the Lord, and you stand alone, sometimes your friends will leave you. I hear about kids that are arrested by being involved in something, and they're taken to jail, and then when they get arrested and their friends get let loose, they look around and they say, where's my friends? Where's my friends now? Your friends abandon you sometimes when bad things happen to us. And so we need to realize that we can be trusted even when our friends abandon us. And God will be there with us. When we're forsaken by our friends, and when you forsake your friends, God will be with you and he will help you, and he'll help you to rectify those situations. And I think he'll help you every step of the way. In Job chapter 19 tonight, as we go back to Job, and look what poor Job had to say in verse 14 down to 19. He said, my kinfolk have failed me, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. Have you ever said something like that? Well, I stood up for the Lord, and now I don't have any friends. Really? You don't have any friends? You stood up at work for the Lord, and you were at the drinking fountain, and you were chatting with someone. You said something about the church. You said something about Jesus or God, and now you think your friends have abandoned you, and you don't have any friends? Is that true? No. God will never forsake you. He's the best friend you'll ever have, and he'll be with you every step of the way. In Job chapter 19, verse 14, my relatives have failed. My intimate friends have forsaken me. Verse 19, all my associates abhor me, and those I love have turned against me. That's the way we feel sometimes. Bad things happen to us. We feel like God's abandoned us. My friends have left me. Where's all my buddies now? Well, God will be with us every step of the way. In Psalm 41, in verse 9, The psalmist said these words, "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." You mean, I shared my money, I shared my food with this friend, and now he's taken up his heel against me. He's making life hard for me. Look what I've done for her. Look what I've done for him. And he says, God's going to take care of him. He's going to bless him every step of the way. Well, God will help us even with our friends. He will help us when we're destitute with finances and other things that go on in this life. And then in Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, Job's wife is remembered for one particular statement that she made. Most of you know what it is. She asked Job, she said, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Job, why don't you just curse God and go ahead and die?" How would you like to be married to Mrs. Job, fellas? You like to wake up to that every morning? Why don't you just curse God and die? No, we need someone that builds us up and encourages us along the way. And in turn, we encourage our mate. But he said to her, look at verse 9 and 10 of chapter 2. "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He didn't say one curse word. He didn't say one word bad about God. He didn't say one bad word to his wife. He held his integrity and he held his faith. Something else good. You can trust God when you're dismayed by the darkness. When you're dismayed by the darkness, Amanda, I was with Amanda and Jeff a little over a month ago now. We buried Amanda's mother. I was so thankful that Laura asked me to do her funeral service. I told Jeff on the phone, Amanda, I said, "No, of all the preachers you know," I said, "Amanda wanted you, Laura wanted you to do her service." And I said, "Well, then I'll do it." I've been with Jeff several times. We used to have lunch about once a week. We're trying to get back in that routine. But I asked Jeff the other day, I said, "Has anybody said anything to you untoward? Has anybody said anything to you like words that they thought were words of wisdom that really weren't good helping words?" He said, "Oh, there's been a few." He said, "They're well-intentioned, but sometimes they don't think about what they say." So tonight, Amanda, I would say to you, if someone would come up to you and say, "I'm sorry you've lost your mom," I would say to you, "She's not lost. I know exactly where she is." Isn't that good? We know exactly where she is. She's safe in the arms of Jesus. And so we ask ourselves tonight, if we want to know something good about this life, and if we were to lose it all tomorrow, could people say of us, "I know exactly where he is. I know exactly where she went. She's not lost. He's not lost. They trusted God." That was the good news. And I want to encourage you this evening to realize that you can trust God. If Job is a lesson for us tonight, do not be dismayed in the darkness. Now, I want to say, that doesn't take the pain away right now. That doesn't take the heartache away from the head and the heart, but it does help me to know that we trust God. And if we lose it all tomorrow and we go to be with the Lord, why is that so bad? We were talking in the office the other day about some of the things that are going on in the world and how the turmoil is happening in the world. We don't know what's going to happen in the Middle East. We don't know what's going to happen with Russia. We don't know what's going on with all the powers that be. For the lack of the matter, we don't know what's going to happen in our own nation, do we? And one of the secretaries said to me, he said, "Well, what if this happens?" And you know what I said? And I don't know why I said it. I said, "It's going to hurt for just a little bit. And then we'll go and be with Jesus." Is that so bad? If you built your nest here on this ground, that's not what you want to hear. My wife and I have a water hose hanging on the side of our house. I don't go on that side of the house very much, but I have a water hose draped over it. And I went by there the other day, and I'm not kidding you, a dove built a nest right on top of the water hose. And I looked in that nest, and there's two eggs. So I left them alone. I went back a few days later, there are two baby doves in there. This is the sad part. I went back a couple of days later, and the little birds weren't there. A cat got them? I don't know. But that mama bird needs to realize you don't build your nest that close to the ground, because things are going to happen. You build your hope and your faith and trust in this old world, let me tell you, church, you're going to be extremely disappointed. But if you build your faith on God and never shifting rock, God will take care of you. Amen? He will. So I want to encourage you this evening. Trust in God. It's good news. And I hope you'll take it home with you tonight.